Today's scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There he gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because Jesus, but because to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to the death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this word and how you speak to us through it. We're grateful. We're blessed. Open our minds and our hearts to receive your grace. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I was thinking about something the other day as I was walking through the hospital. And I spend an awful lot of time in hospitals, not as a patient, thank God, but visiting patients. And I noticed something along the wall on regular intervals. It's something that you push in, and then some stuff comes out of it into your hands. And then you rub it around. Hand sanitizer. It's an amazing invention, isn't it? When you're not able to wash your hands, you can go ahead and put it on. You can squirt it on and your hands don't stay all wet and glumpy and gooey. It doesn't get underneath your fingernails and bug you the rest of the day. It dries. And it makes you safe to be around. Clean, if you will. We even have hand sanitizer up here before we serve communion, and we all take a turn and kind of squeeze some out, and there you go, and we're ready to go. So any of you receiving communion from us know you're not going to catch anything from us then. Isn't that relaxing to know and a good feeling? Good thing to know. I'm even sanitizing myself as we speak. Oh, I feel all tingly and clean and brand new. What did we do when we didn't have that stuff so available? What did we do? We dealt with it. With the nitty-gritty of life. I'm not saying hand sanitizer is a bad thing. I don't want you going out of church today saying, "The pastor said we shouldn't use it. It's evil." No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying being in the midst of the nitty-gritty of life is what the Christian journey is all about. Life is not always going to be neat and tidy and sanitized. And indeed, there are things that are going to be coming our way that stun us, that surprise us and maybe that we never recover from, but we find ourselves dealing with the rest of our lives. The Christian walk always, always has the cross in mind. And although we remember what happened on the cross, we remember why it happened and who it happened for. All of us. So even when we don't feel clean, there's been something that's taken place and taken our sins along with it. And during the Lenten season, we continue to walk towards that cross, continue to be on that journey towards Jerusalem, and that place where our sins were taken and when we were offered a whole new way of living. I love the truth that we hear from the good news today. That when we are in the presence of Jesus, we are called to extravagant giving. We are called to offer our entire selves because it's Jesus. It's our namesake. It's our Savior. And it's only through Him that we can truly be redeemed by God's grace. The scene is something that's familiar. It's familiar, and yet it happens in different ways according to different Gospels. In the Gospel of John, the woman is named as Mary. That's the only place that it happens out of all the Gospels where the story is contained. It's kind of different changes, and whenever you're reading the Bible and you read the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you might hear a similar story, but maybe there's a little twist in one way or another. Here, Jesus is gathered with his friends. That's what it says. And I think about that too. That's a powerful statement. Jesus gathered with his friends. Are we a friend of Jesus? Are we a friend to Jesus? Does our lives, do our words convey that? Do they speak that to anybody that we encounter? Just a question to ponder. And in this scenario, I kind of get the sense that Jesus just wanted to relax with his friends. We have the image of Jesus doing miraculous things, feeding the 5,000, creating gallons of new wine, the catch of fish, all sorts of dramatic actions of Jesus. We have that, certainly, I get it. But wasn't there any time, since Jesus was also fully human and fully divine, where he just simply wanted to rest and be with friends? I think in this scripture passage, it tells us of one of those situations. And yet, people were always doing extraordinary things around Jesus, weren't they? They found themselves moved to do things that they wouldn't normally do. And while he's sitting there resting and maybe reclining and just feeling safe and secure in the love of friends, an astounding thing happens. Mary comes up and she has an offering that she's going to be making. And it's a very expensive collection of ointment, of fragrance. It could have probably taken care, if you would have sold it, could have taken care of a poor family for an entire year in that day and time. It was an expensive thing, and she breaks the jar, which wasn't very utilitarian, was it? I mean, when we bring something to the church, even in our Tupperware, we want it back. And if you've cleaned it and washed it and sanitized it, that's even better. So she breaks this jar, and they didn't have a whole bunch of those laying around. And then she pours the ointment on his feet. Now see, if she had poured it on his head, that would have signified royalty, an anointing of a king or a leader. Okay, so you have to realize it wasn't on the head, it was on the feet. And she pours it out on the feet, and then she uses her hair to just kind of rub it in, to wash, to cleanse. Now what was taking place here was an act of humility, and I want to get back to that. But Mary was also showing an incredible depth, because what she was doing was preparing Jesus for what was yet to come, his crucifixion and his death. Kneeling down, getting right down. If I had something to show you, I'd show you the hair also. But you can imagine, long flowing locks coming down. The difference between humility there and humiliation is that she felt moved, so powerfully moved by being in the presence of Christ that she couldn't do anything else. Humiliation is a different thing altogether. Probably most of us here have felt humiliated at one point in our lives by something that's taken place. I think about humiliation that is thrust upon other lives out of evilness and spite. And I think about one young girl in particular who I had the privilege of ministering with on Akaya at the girls' jail over in Phoenix. They happen at both Black Canyon School and Adobe Mountain Ranch. I've mentioned those places before. They're jails for teenagers. And one of the spiritual renewal weekends for Kaya found me hearing the story of humiliation that one girl, young girl, went through when she was with a foster family, and while everybody else was eating at the table, she was served dog food to eat on the ground. Evil, hate, anger, causing humiliation. And yet, this young girl was one of the most powerful ministers that I had ever heard. You'll never see her on TV. You'll never read a book by her. Maybe. Who knows? But out of that humiliation, she received God's grace, understood what it was to serve humbly, and then was serving on one of these spiritual renewal weekends to help her fellow inmates. You see what happens whenever we allow our lives to be transformed by God? It's no longer about us. It's no longer about our agenda. It's no longer about things being neat and tidy and sanitized. It's about being in the midst of the nitty-gritty of life and recognizing that God can work in that, and God can work through all things because we are more than conquerors through Christ who has saved us. For us, today, if there's some nitty-gritty of life that you're dealing with, know that God already knows all about it. God's not wanting you to be humiliated, but He is seeking a humble attitude and a heart and a submission towards Him. Judas plays a big role in this story, doesn't he? Saying, boss, we could have used that, helped a lot of people. And he says it in a way that it sounds good. Yeah, of course you want to help people. Of course you want to be able to make people's lives better. But Jesus says something that has been misinterpreted time and time again. He says, in essence, you're going to have the poor with you all the time. You're not always going to have me. Jesus wasn't saying, forget about the poor. What he was saying is, Judas, if you really want to work with the poor, you got another thing coming, brother. You're going to have them. And with Judas, especially, he did have another thing coming. But that's a whole other story and a whole other sermon. The poor are going to be there, Jesus is saying. And in his ministry, and in his teaching, and in his life, he continued to point towards them. The gospel, as it is shared, creates kind of a new economy where it's not about collecting things or collecting toys, but rather about seeing need and sharing, about helping one another, about being in a whole new way of living where we are able to see God's presence in one another, but also we're able to see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, sometimes, anybody here have a brother or a sister? Okay. Is it always easy to get along with them? I'm going to ask you guys right in the front row. No, not really, not necessarily. Okay, sometimes. But a brother or sister in Christ is a whole other thing, because it's all about God. It's all about sensing, listening, being able to recognize that God has created them as well. And Judas wasn't really about being a brother or sister in Christ, wasn't really about seeing God's presence in one another. It was about greed that was motivating him. All of these individuals who are involved in this scene have a number of thoughts flowing through their mind right now. Jesus, first of all, understands where he is headed. Judas, missing the point, missing the example that's right in front of him of grace. Mary, willing to be humble in her service and willing to go ahead and humble herself and be on her knees on the dirt, on that dust floor, and wash another's feet with her hair and pour out an expensive offering on those feet, those beautiful feet that were walking to the cross to Jerusalem. And Martha saying, Mary, could I have a little help with dinner? Could you help me out here? I have some work to do around the house. It's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? Distracted away from God. And yet all these individuals were dealing with distractions. My prayer is this morning that we could seek to be humble before God and seek to be vibrant in the love that we share and vulnerable more so. There's nothing about Mary here that shouts, that makes her part of the spotlight, or she doesn't want that. But yet, in her humility and in her vulnerability, she becomes that nonetheless, and she becomes an example and a witness. My friends, that is something that God offers to all of us, simply to be a witness of his grace. Even in the midst of distractions and the muck and mire of life, when things are anything but neat and tidy, God is still at work in your life. God loves you more than you can imagine. I invite you to take a few moments with me. You're going to be hearing some music here, and then we'll be entering into our words of discipleship that are printed in the bulletin. Simply to take a few moments and be open to God's grace. God is not really even looking for a thing for you to offer to him right now, but rather your life, and simply to say, Lord, here it is. Here it is. I'm going to be following you from now on. I'm going to be seeking to be a witness to your love in the world. And however you guide me, Lord, I want to follow. If there's anything that you need to hand over to God, he'll receive it. You're his child. His strength and healing and grace are available to you right now.